Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, in cooperation with Scout.com, WarNest.com, and Frat House Sports, this is Inside the War Nest, the show made by Philadelphia Eagles fans for Philadelphia Eagles fans. Have a comment or question? Call us live on the air, 347-826-9964. That's 347-826-9964. And now, to take you through the week that was and the week to come in Eagles football, here are your armchair generals, Jim Williams and Mike McShane, inside the War Nest.
Oh, yes, indeed. Good Wednesday evening to you, everybody. Or if you're listening on demand, good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever the case may be. Welcome to another week of Inside the War Nest, presented by Scout.com, WarNest.com, and the good folks at Frat House Sports. I'm Jim Williams, one half of the tag team duo of Williams and McShane. The other half joins me now, Frat House Sports' very own Frat House, Mike McShane. Good evening, Michael.
Jim, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. It's a shame we really don't have a lot to talk about. We really don't.
It's you know, that happens every week.
It seems to happen. We've got to do something about that. I don't know what gives. But, no, in all seriousness, what a game Monday night by Philadelphia.
Wow.
Beating the ever-loving out of the Carolina Panthers. The score not nearly as close as the game. Well, it was closer than the game indicated. I'll put it to you that way. We'll dissect the good and some of the bad. There is a little bit of bad to talk about with the Eagles' victory over Carolina two nights ago. We'll
also
throw in
a little ugly, man. There's a little ugly, too.
There is. And we'll let you tackle that in just a few moments. We'll also bring aboard Bill Huber. He's with PackerReport.com, Scout.com's Green Bay Packers website. He's going to let us in behind enemy lines, tell us how the Packers are preparing for Philadelphia this Sunday. We'll pick his brain for about 10 or 15 minutes, but we'd love to pick your brain as well. Mark Sanchez starting things out. First start in almost 2 years, and I think he came up aces, but what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? We want to hear from you tonight. 347-826-9964. That's how you can reach us. You'll show up on the switchboard here. I'll see your number. I will see your credit card. No, I won't see your credit card information. That's a joke. But no, you call into the show and let us know what you think about the performance of Mark Sanchez. Let us know what you think about the running game or the lack thereof in the game Monday night. The offensive line play. How about the defense? 9 sacks two nights ago. 9 sacks. That's 3 times as many sacks as they had in the first 3 weeks of the season. They've improved. They've improved. We'll let you weigh in on that as well at 347-826-9964. You could also weigh in by clicking the Skype button. You could also weigh in by joining us in the live chat room. And any comment or question we see of interest, we will relay on the air, and we'll bring it up, and we'll give you full props, as the kids say. So lots of ways to get in touch with us on Inside the War Nest here on a Wednesday night in mid-November. Mike, let's look back at it. Big win for Philadelphia. And yeah, as you mentioned here, everything by and large was better from a week ago.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I look back to exactly 1 week ago tonight, and we were talking about that game against Carolina and saying, well, it could be a little bit closer than, well, for God's sake, I mean, boy, I couldn't have been more wrong, could I? 38-7.
Who said it was going to be a statement game on the show last week? Do you remember who? Yeah.
That's right. And I want to get into that whole concept of what a statement game is at some point during this hour.
Okay.
But 38-7 was the score after the third quarter. And Jim, everything looked like it was rolling right on target. I mean, I got to tell you, I was a little bit nervous about Mark Sanchez. We didn't have any clue. None of us had anything to go on except what we had seen up at the New York Jets. And so,
and the time that he filled in last week in Houston, yes.
Yeah, okay, and that was just, you know, a little, you're right, that little bit of time he had there. But nothing as far as, I mean, when you think about this, it's the first game this guy has seen full game in almost 2 years on a football field, on a professional football field. What could you have expected? Well, a couple of really important things came out of that. Number one, no interceptions. In fact, no turnovers at all. And
matter
I think
of fact,
that,
this is, yeah, this is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, Sanchez has thrown for 300 or more yards and not thrown an interception in his entire career. So that's pretty big.
Now, one of the things that I always look at, you know, I think it's I use the number here on Frat House Sports all the time. I love to throw around the whole quarterback rating number. I do it more, though, out of tongue-in-cheek because I just think it's nothing more than just a sexy number. You know,
yes.
I don't know if there's really much, you know, you can't give it too much credence. There's no substance to that, per se, in my opinion. I guess I'm a little more old school. I look at the number to me that is most important, in my opinion, is completion percentage. Mark Sanchez had a great day. He was completing, however, at a clip less than what we saw from Nick Foles. He was only completing at a rate of 54%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, there might be Eagles fans out there that want to say, hey, what are you pissing on the... listen, I'm just looking inside the numbers. That's where I'm going with it.
Well, and that's a valid concern, the completion percentage. That's a very valid concern. But by the same token, a lot of those garbage passes were ex post facto. They were after the game was already well in hand. So I think there's something to be said for that as well.
Okay.
To be brutally honest. But let me just take it next level. Do you take anything away, anything at all about Sanchez's performance against Carolina, or do you chalk it up a little bit to Carolina's just not a good football team?
Well, and that's where I go with your concept of a statement game.
Okay,
see,
let's get into that.
Very nicely, rolled right into it. Because, see, here's what I look at this week coming up, and this might segue perfectly into Bill Huber, but I look at this week as a statement game. If the Eagles can go to Green Bay and win that game, and I don't care what the score is, if they win it by just one, they've won, okay? That's a statement game. A 45-21 trampling of a team where it was evident that their quarterback was not in the game right from the very, very beginning of it, I don't know if we can sit back and necessarily say, oh, that's a statement game. See, you and I have talked on here in the past couple of weeks about, hey, we're waiting for that dominant blowout game. You know, yeah, we had one against the Giants, but we're still waiting for that one kind of, hey, you know, put the foot down and don't let it off the throat of the opponent. Well, okay, you got that, but I don't know if you can really call it a quote-unquote statement game.
Well, I think the game offered, I will say it's a statement game in this regard. A lot of people were questioning what Sanchez will do as a starting quarterback. I think it made a statement that, not even so much about Sanchez, but I think brutally, honestly, that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is of this team on offense to some degree. As long as you're semi-capable of throwing the football under a Chip Kelly offense, under a tempo offense, and I know it's a small sample size, but I would say Sanchez ran the tempo better and quicker than Nick Foles did.
That's interesting.
I don't think there's much question about that. From that respect, I would say that's the statement you get out of this game. I'd be willing to say you could put Matt Barkley in, and I don't think anything would miss a beat. I'd be willing to go that far. I really, really would. Little bold, yeah, but I just really think this offense, let's go back to Sanchez here for a second. You can't really say a lot about the last couple of years of Sanchez. We know him, of course, for the butt fumble and what have you. You have to forget about that. You have to clear your mind of that for a moment or two, simply because Rex Ryan in New York, he chews quarterbacks up and spits them out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sanchez, his skills deteriorated, and he didn't have really anybody to throw the football to when you get right down to it. Look at the weapons he has now. He's got Jeremy Maclin, who was pretty much a non-factor 2 nights ago. He has McCoy. We'll talk about him being an absolute non-factor 2 nights ago in a little bit. He has Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews, let me play a clip for you.
Yep.
Here's the blue chipper, as I'm going to call him. Jordan Matthews going off. He had himself a game. Credit for the play-by-play to ESPN, Mike Tirico, and John, this guy, Gruden, the real one, not Justin Henry impersonating him.
Right back on it. Sanchez, boot, throw, end zone. Matthews, his drive, his touchdown. What a start for the Eagles.
They fake the ball to McCoy. He comes out to his left, stops, pops, and throws it straight.
Game, Philadelphia turns around and goes to play Green Bay next Sunday at Lambeau. Beautiful touch. It's Matthews. For the second time tonight, the rookie Jordan Matthews out of Vanderbilt with a touchdown.
Carolina wanted. As you see Sanchez fade away from the blitz, he bought time, and Johnson had no chance.
Mark. And after that touchdown, John Gruden made smoothies for everybody. Hooray!
Yeah, exactly.
Smoothies for all. But no, he had himself a game. 7 grabs, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's, you know, what I found most interesting, I think, about the game is not so much Sanchez's play, but who he was throwing to. You didn't see much of Macklin used. It was Matthews. It was Brent Celek having his biggest offensive game of the season as well.
Yep. A couple of observations. A couple of years ago, as you well know, Jim, I was, you know, on another network, and there was a lot of talk at that particular time. There was a lot of talk because the host that I worked with at that time was a big Jets fan. I remember saying at that time, I did not feel that Sanchez was being used properly up in New York. I've never been necessarily a big Sanchez fan, but I've never been one that had said, the guy absolutely stinks, and there's no way he should ever be a starter in this league. I've never said that. I've always felt that Sanchez could be a really good, serviceable quarterback in the right scheme, and we know that the Jets weren't that.
Right.
So that's number one. One of the things that you just heard in that clip, okay, of those two touchdowns, particularly with the commentary by Gruden, you heard the ability of Sanchez to be able to move in the pocket that we have not been able to see from Nick Foles. Both of those, particularly that first touchdown, was a thing of beauty where he faked right and came left, and bam, it was wide open down the left side. Yep, that was absolutely beautiful.
He had side-to-side lateral movement, yes.
Correct. And that second one was very, very similar. It was just this little slide move. And it is so evident when you watch this game that that is something that Sanchez has that Nick Foles doesn't. With all due respect, I don't know if it's necessarily this is a great hidden talent of Mark Sanchez's. I think it's actually a big, big deficiency of Nick Foles. In fact, in other words, what I'm saying is most professional quarterbacks should be able to do that. That's
right.
My point.
I understand. And that's something we're going to let's call a spade a spade. We have a quarterback controversy in this town right now. There's no question about it. And we'll tell you about something that Mark Sanchez did post-game in the wee small ones of a Tuesday morning, as it were, to further his legacy, beginning the cementing of his legacy here in South Philadelphia. He's making the big cheesesteak rounds. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on as well, which is great sidebar stuff. But while all this is going on, while the Eagles are scoring big, through the air, it's really special teams and defense that were the calling card, that were the stars, and no bigger star on the special teams than my main man. The man, and I said this to a couple of friends of mine on Facebook during the game, and I'm going to say it here now. If I ever got an Eagles jersey again, it's been a number of years since I got one, I would get one with Sproles on the back.
Got to be real careful with this ball. Brad Nortman gets it away. Good kick. 55 yards. Sproles to the 35. Hits the accelerator. Sproles at the 40. Fakes out Nortman. Darren Sproles gone. Touchdown. Eagles.
Spiral in the middle of the field, and Philadelphia special teams continue to ring people's bells.
So true. What John Gruden said was so true. The special teams have been the X factor all season long. Props to Coach Phipp and what he's doing with these special teams guys. And Darren Sproles, I maintain he's the MVP of this team right now. Without him, this team isn't even in the division hunt. No question in my mind. I mean,
okay.
if you take away Darren Sproles from this team right now, they have three fewer wins. They have three fewer wins.
Yes, you're right about that. Yep.
So they're not a division leader. They're not in the hunt. So on and so forth. I truly believe that. I mean, Jeremy Maclin's played great. Don't get me wrong. And Foles has had great moments in the regular season as well. And the defense has stepped their game up. And let's talk about the defense, matter of fact. Nine times. Woo! Nine times in the words of Ric Flair. Oh, wait, you're not a wrestling fan. You don't get it. I'm sorry. But nine sacks. This is a team that in the first 3 weeks of the season had just three sacks. The next 6 weeks, they get a combined 29 sacks, nine of them coming just this past week. Actually, hold that thought before we talk about the defense. We'll come back to this. We're going to do things a little out of order here this week because we want to acquiesce to our guest. And our guest is joining us on the line from the greater Green Bay area, representing PackerReport.com, the Scout.com hub site for Green Bay Packer news. And I got to say, I'm not saying this just to blow smoke at this guy because he's joining us on the line, but they do it big up there. They do a great job with PackerReport.com. They've got a magazine. Yep. They've got everything going on. I welcome the curator of that site, Bill Huber, to Inside the War Dust. Welcome across enemy lines. Bill, good evening.
How are you guys tonight?
Real good. How are you doing?
We're doing well.
I'm good, thanks.
All right.
Just another balmy 20-degree day in November.
I was going to say a little cold up there from what we hear, huh?
Yeah. And weather might very well play a little bit of a factor come Sunday. We'll talk about that a little later on. But, you know, let's talk about where the Packers are right now. It's funny, the beginning of the season, unlike the Patriots, the Packers, you know, started off slow, and then the five-letter word of Aaron Rodgers, relax. Relax, and he just does the rest. And just, you know, he had a 6-touchdown game on Sunday night. Nothing exciting. I mean... How is the team preparing to bounce off of that incredible performance that, quite frankly, made me laugh my butt off because I love seeing Jay Cutler fail big time. I know you do too, Bill. But how do the Packers build off of Sunday night's momentum, and how are they game planning against Philadelphia in your estimations?
You know, I don't think the Bears game matters. I mean, I got the feeling that Green Bay was pretty sure they're going to win. I mean, they're the better team, and you know, you just look at the standings. You know, it's Philadelphia's a heck of a good. I mean, they came here and won last year. They got they're a first place team. They're, you know, there's a chance that these guys meet down the road and maybe some home field at stake on Sunday. So, I mean, I certainly don't think there's gonna be any hangover. I think Green Bay's got all the respect in the world for what Chip Kelly's done. And you know, realize Rodgers didn't play that game last year, but you know, they scored. You guys scored 27 up here, and you know, Packers had a lot of trouble with tight ends, and they've had a lot of trouble with those athletic kind of running backs, and certainly the Eagles have both of those factors, and they've had a problem covering kickoffs, and we were going to talk about the weather later, but I think that shows up on special teams, and I think that's going to be a challenge for Green Bay, too, is Philly's special teams and kickoff return games. So I think there's a lot of challenges. I don't think Green Bay is resting on their laurels, for sure.
Mm-hmm. The Bill, right now the Green Bay Packers are 30th against the rush. Now, we just went in against the Carolina Panthers, who were 31st against the rush, and yet the Eagles only put, I believe it was 37 yards down on the ground to begin with. Is this of any concern at this point right now? What they're calling the three-headed monster here with McCoy, Sproles, and I guess we're throwing Chris Polk in the mix now at this point.
Right.
Well, I think it's a tremendous concern. You know, Green Bay played... Statistically, they played good run defense last week, but, you know, seriously, the Bears were down, you know, 21 points before, you know, the seats got warm. So I don't think you put any stock into that. And before that, I mean, Green Bay was talking optimistically about the run defense, and they gave up 100 yards to Carolina and Minnesota and, Detroit. I mean, there's like a three-game span where they gave, you know, 110 yards or so, and they were feeling good about the run defense. So, I mean, if that's good run defense, that's probably an issue. You know, now, the one thing here is, you know, under, you know, Dom Capers, the defensive coordinator, says this all the time, is it's somebody you got to pick your poison. And what worries you more? Is it going to be LeSean McCoy's running, or, well, the Celtic last week's game, heading into that game? So what's the bigger factor? Is it Matt Forte running for 4.5 yards a carry, or is it them throwing the ball deep to Jeffrey and Marshall? Well, the big plays are his concern. So to some extent they concede rushing yards because they have a bigger picture in mind. But you know, unlike your defense, you can't blitz if it's 3rd and 1, and you can't blitz if it's 3rd and 2. So you mean at some level you have to play run defense to get them in at 3rd and 6 and 3rd and 8 stuff. So roundabout way, I think it's a tremendous concern. I don't think Green Bay is putting a whole lot of stock into that game.
Yeah, in some respects, however, I mean, it obviously does appear that Green Bay is an offense-first team, not dissimilar to the Eagles at this point. Green Bay leaving up 22.8 points per game, but outscoring opponents 30.8. So you're outscoring at a rate of about 8, you know, a little bit more than a touchdown a game. And that's, I mean, it would appear the two teams are setting up rather similarly in this head-to-head.
Sure, you know, and some of that both teams' offenses are so good that the points against and the yards against are going to be up just the way it's going to be. I mean, Green Bay and Philly they're going to go no huddle. They're going to go as fast as they can, and which means more possessions, which means more chances for yards and points. And if you think the other team's going to score 30. The other team's going to come out aggressive, and they're going to throw the ball to the yard. So, you got more chance for yards and points. So, you know, at some level, I don't put a whole lot of stock into it. You know, I look at Green Bay just forced a million turnovers. So have the Eagles. Green Bay's got a good pass rush. The Eagles, I think, have the best pass rush in the league. So, to me, those are the numbers that matter. You know, I realize points are, you know, all important and everything, but I think some of it's just a byproduct of the offenses on their side of the ledger, too.
What about this number, though? And this is one that I've been kind of following with your quarterback up there, Aaron Rodgers, for past number of seasons. It seems to me that for season after season after season, we would see Aaron Rodgers on his back, sacked, sacked, sacked. This guy's only been sacked 20 times this season. It really seems to me Green Bay's addressed the offensive line.
Well, some of that's Rodgers' style, where he's going to, you know, he'll take sacks. When you look at the interception total, it's one reason why he doesn't throw any interceptions, because I mean, he's not going to chuck it, and he's not going to force a ball into avoid getting hit. He'll just eat it. And he's so, I mean, he's just so good keeping plays alive. I mean, if it's escaping pressure by buying time or just showing the patience for his guys to get open. So, you know, historically, I will say that the pass protection has been better this year. I think historically a lot of it's just the way that Rodgers played, and he's content to take some hits. Mm-hmm. He's really good at ducking out of the way. So I mean, he might get sacked 40 times a year, but it's, you know, most of them aren't gigantic hits. So, you know, I think some of it's just a byproduct of the way he plays. But, you know, one of their guards, T.J. Lang, said last week that the line appreciates that he's been getting rid of the ball faster at times, so the sack numbers aren't there, so that those guys don't look as bad to the, the untrained eye. So,
mm-hmm.
But, I mean, part of it is I think Rodgers adjusting, and, you know, the line is pretty good. You know, they got quite a find in the rookie center, Corey Linsley, but 26 is still quite a bit, isn't it? I don't know where it ranks, but I know when the Packers played the Saints the other day, for a couple weeks ago, Rodgers had like 18 sacks and Brees had 7. So,
well, I'm trying to think.
Just by their standard, it's down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think. That's over what? That's over 10 games, so it's only 2 a game. That's actually lower than I think that's quite a bit lower than I remember it being. It seems like for season after season after season, you know, you would find Aaron Rodgers being up there as one of the most heavily sacked quarterbacks in the entire league.
Yeah, that's true. Because some of it's just a byproduct of the way the guy plays, and you know, maybe the broken collarbone last year is maybe hastening up his play clock a bit. But yeah, I mean, he'll take sacks, and I don't think he doesn't regret me. He's said 100 times he's not going to apologize for the way he plays because
right.
You know, you go that Miami game where they threw the touchdown to Randall Cobb, where Rodgers literally had scrambled for 7 seconds. Well, he could have thrown the ball away at any one of those times, but he just is content to play the play out and see what he can get out of it. So it's what they do so well.
One thing I want to talk about, we're talking with Bill Huber, if you're just tuning in, from PackerReport.com, our friend well, we can call him a neighbor of sorts because we're all on Scout.com together here on Inside the War Nest. I'm Jim Williams with Mike McShane. You talk about Aaron Rodgers, and we saw last year when he went down with a collarbone injury, he is this team. Simply put, when you put somebody else in a quarterback, not the same team. One aspect of this offense I want to talk about a little bit is the running game. And I have fans and friends who are Packers fans. And time in and time out, I tell them this team could be a championship team if they had a running game. You take a look at the stats, and you have Eddie Lacy, who's got 478 yards of offense, four touchdowns. He's, by de facto, your leading rusher. What gives with the running game, and could this be something that the Eagles are going to overlook this Sunday because the ground attack is really secondary, maybe even tertiary, to the passing game?
You know, neither McCarthy, the head coach, or Riders care how the ball gets moved as long as it moves. And there's been games, believe it or not, where teams have ganged up on Eddie Lacy. I mean, the Jets in week two did it. You know, the Bears in week four did it. I mean, they put an extra guy in the box, and the game plan was to take away Eddie Lacy. And Aaron Rodgers killed him.
Yeah.
You know, it's the pickle that Green Bay puts you in, or when the Broncos get a run game going, or the Saints, now they got Ingram going. I mean, what are you going to stop? You can't play, unless you're the Seahawks with a great deal, you can't stop both. And, you know, if Philly is going to sit back and play pass coverage, Green Bay's going to run the ball. I don't, McCarthy, I mean, Rodgers, who orchestrates a lot of the offensive line of scrimmage, he doesn't care how the ball goes as long as it's going. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at is it's Green Bay's offense is basically whatever the other team's going to give them, that's what they're going to try to go after. So, I mean, there's been games, you know, that Minnesota game where, you know, the Vikings played to take away Rodgers. Well, Lacy, you know, ran for 150 or whatever he did. So it's kind of a pick-your-poison kind of offense.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball for you guys, how you're going to handle Mark Sanchez. Again, a small sample size that we've seen from Sanchez in Philadelphia and what he brings to the table. You know, can you game plan for somebody you haven't really seen in 2 years is the question I guess I have to ask.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at least for, you know, you guys probably know better than I do, but, you know, McCarthy, at least Republicans, I'm sure, said the Eagles didn't look a whole lot different with Sanchez last week than they have with Foles. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he said he called it a few wrinkles, but by and large it was Philly's offense they ran. So, yeah, I don't think it matters a whole lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Go ahead, Mike. Yep.
No, go ahead, Jim. I was
okay,
just checking something real quick.
No problem. Looking at my colleague here, Mr. McShane, is what we like to call a degenerate gambler, and we say this in jest. he puts in the formats here for the show that, you know, the over-under and all that sort of stuff.
I was just checking the recent line.
Well, see what I mean? This is what I have to deal with, Bill. Pray for me, sir. No, but we talk about the fast-paced offenses for both of these teams. Packers score 30 or more points a game on average, fifth most in offensive points in the National Football League. The Eagles, every win they've had of their seven, they've had 30 or more points, so they're right on top as well. Is this going to be the offensive explosion everybody expects it to be, where it's going to be an out-and-out shootout of the frozen tundra?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and you know, maybe there's a defensive score or a special team score in there, but I'm going to guess a lot of points because both offenses are, and they're going to run a lot of plays. More plays with, like McCarthy wants to stay with the Riders, they go up tempo because he wants his quarterback to have as many swings as he can at it. So yeah, I would be, you know, unless the wind acts up, which I have no idea about the wind, but I'd expect a lot of points on Sunday.
You talk about the wind. Let's talk about the weather, like I alluded to. There is a chance of a little bit of snow before the game. I think the morning of the game, of course, that won't matter because the field will be cleared, and I don't know if the field's heated up there. I would assume it might be. The cold weather, and this is going to be temperatures maybe in the low 20s, high teens. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has played in these conditions a bunch of times before. What do you figure the weather will play? What kind of role do you think it'll play on Philadelphia, in your humble opinion, as the visitors coming in?
Yeah, you know, zero. I mean, it's not like it's going to be five. 20, I mean, Philadelphia's not exactly Miami. So, you know,
well,
the one
true.
Factor I look at is special teams where, I mean, for the first 8 weeks of the season, every kickoff was a touchback. Both sides was, you could take a nap during the kickoffs because nothing ever happened. Well, you know, during that Chicago game last week, it was 30 degrees out. There were 13 kickoffs and 12 of them returned. So I would think the big factor is on special teams by just keeping the ball in play.
And the way this Eagles team has been on special teams, it's been their X factor, as you well know, all season long. It's been their calling card, the block punts for touchdowns, the returns by Darren Sproles. He has a couple of them this season. That's what's helped win games that they otherwise would not have won. So it could very well be, if it's a windy Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening at Lambeau, it could play more of a factor than you or I even think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the ball just doesn't, when it's cold, the ball just doesn't travel. So,
right.
Even regardless of the wind, I think it's kind of a big thing. Green Bay's kickoff coverage has been pretty bad all year. Their punt team's been great. So, but in the return games have been, the punt return is pretty decent. No kickoff return is terrible. So, I think it's definitely an advantage to Philadelphia there.
Okay.
Real quick, Bill, one last one for you. We're week 11. We're into the second half of the season. And now suddenly all the scenarios are coming out vis-a-vis playoffs, et cetera, what the landscape looks like. Scenario I read out there today, because of the situation right now with the NFC South, which is just absolutely abysmal, and somebody's got to win out of there, it's entirely possible Green Bay could end up in second place and not make the playoffs as things continue to shake down over the next number of weeks. Obviously, you guys are looking to win that division, and you're well within the capability. Assess for me real quick the Detroit Lions, number one defense in the league.
Yeah, you know what? And they might be a dome team, but defense works everywhere you go. So and at some point, you have to have a lot of belief that you're going to come back and win football games, and I think that just bodes well for the coach, where you have belief in the coach because he's put you in a position to win games. So, again, they got a great defense, a big play of special teams. Obviously, the offense hasn't been great this year, but they got the firepower. So,
right.
I guess in years past, I thought they were going to crumble because they always crumble. I don't think they're going to crumble this year. I think it's a legit team.
Mm.
Bill, we have two. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it sounds like you might be acquiescing to him, in which case then maybe Green Bay ends up second place, huh?
I'm sorry, my little boy, I got to get going here. What was that again?
I'm saying it sounds like you might be acquiescing a bit, and, well, hey, Green Bay might be second place, huh?
Well, they're a game out right now, so, they get them here in Week 17, and so I'm certainly not going to say Detroit's going to come up here and win. I mean, Green Bay's won 23 in a row at home against those guys, so then it comes on the tiebreaker,
gotcha.
So they'll be all right.
Bill, we thank you for your time. I hear the little one in the background. We say hello to him from the Delaware Valley. Quickly, though, you want to give a prediction on the game from your end, who you like and by how many points?
I'm gonna go with Green Bay, like 34-31. I'm kind of a big Philly, but I'll go with Green Bay.
Well, of course. We would expect.
Well, they've been really good at home, so I'll go with that.
They have been. It's a tough.
Yep.
It's one of the toughest home fields in all of football. Bill from PackerReport.com, anything you want to say about the site very quickly?
We're started by Ray Nitschke in 1972, so that's falling in a Hall of Famer's footsteps.
Oh, wow. Good stuff. Wow. Good stuff. An honor and a privilege talking with you. Continue the good work with PackerReport.com, and thanks for taking a little time out to chat with us this evening.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bill Huber from PackerReport.com joining us here inside the War Nest on blogtalkradio.com/FHSports. Our pleasure talking with him. Good guy, good insight. And, what do you think of some of what he said as we kind of transition slowly but surely looking ahead to Green Bay? What kind of a challenge does this game pose to the Eagles, Mike?
Well, certainly we can get into that. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that jumped out at me, Jim, as I'm listening to him, is how different it's evident to me just from what he was testifying there. That Green Bay fan base is from the Philadelphia Eagles fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made the comment there, the team doesn't really care so long as the ball is moving. You brought up the concept about the lack of a running game. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's not going to fly. That kind of a response would not fly with the Philadelphia fan base here. You know that as well as I do.
Especially with the money owed to McCoy and what have you. They want a balanced offense.
Exactly. And the Philadelphia fan base, we sit here, we're 7-2, and tell me, one person, listen, get them to call up here. I want to see the switchboard light up. I want to hear from one person tonight who is absolutely positively confident that this team is going to win the NFC East and is going to go on from there. I want to hear from anybody because,
347-826-9964.
There you go.
Go ahead.
We're all nervous. That Green Bay fan base up there isn't. They're not nervous. They sit there and go, "Oh, we don't have a ground game. That's all right. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to take care of it. Listen, we got Randall Cobb. We got Jordy Nelson. We're fine."
Well, it comes back also to the concept of we've been there before. We're a perennial playoff team. This Philadelphia team, not the perennial playoff team yet. They're getting there. There's more. There are more questions and answers with Chip Kelly and this scheme. I think there's more questions and answers with Bill Davis on the defensive side, quite frankly, at times, than anywhere else on this team. The offense under coordinator Pat Shurmur doing all right. The special teams, the best in football for my money right now. No bias whatsoever, of course, saying that. But I think there are more questions than answers with this team, so there's cautious optimism in the city of brotherly love these days when it comes to their football team. And understandably so. This is uncharted territory in some degree. I mean, it's not often that we're this good, this successful. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the last 2 years that ended in a 4, we were 7-2 through 9 games. Mm-hmm. And what have you. I mean, 2004, of course, we went to the Super Bowl. 1994, I'd like to forget about that year, thank you very much, when we went on to lose 7 in a row after a big blowout win over the San Francisco 49ers, 40-8, under Rich Kotite. Rich Kotite, by the way, you can see him pumping gas somewhere in Levittown, from what I'm being told.
Is that right? Wow.
No, I'm just saying that. The running gag for years was he was an Atlantic gas station attendant. So
that would have been great. Maybe we could get him on. We could get him to call in.
Yeah, I can get Ray Rhodes to curse him out just for no reason. That would be beautiful.
Oh,
that would be beautiful.
There,
on show. But let's talk a little bit. We were going to bring this up as Bill called us in. The Eagles on defense with 9 sacks. One of the things I noted in Bill Davis's press conference earlier this morning, he doesn't care how many sacks this team gets. It's all about pressuring the quarterback. It's all about getting the quarterback to move off of the spot, out of the tackle box. Do you like this approach Bill Davis is going, where sacks don't really matter?
Well, let's put it this way. They certainly are sexy.
Yes.
I mean, we like seeing them. That's for sure. I mean, it gets – boy, doesn't that get your juices going when you're seeing that?
Oh, no question.
So – listen, I understand what his MO might be, and that's fine. I'm not going to dispute it because, you know, interestingly, you're saying, you just made the comment, you know, we got to watch a defense. Yeah, they're growing. Yeah, they're maturing. They seem to be going in the right direction. You sound like you have more confidence in the offense. I have less in the offense, and I feel better about the defense and have really, as I pointed out, going back to about mid-season last year. I really feel that this defense has been moving progressively in the right direction. And when you consider some of the, you know, it was a week ago, Jim, we're sitting here going, oh, wow, we just lost to D'Amico Ryans. Well, didn't miss a beat this week, huh?
If anything, they played better without him, as weird as that sounds.
You know, look, we got the toughest part of our schedule coming up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to be sounding bravado here.
Right.
And I mean, you know, Carolina Panthers, look, they are what they are.
And that would be not good. Thank you very much.
Really? I mean, seriously, not good. You know, and that's what's crazy, too. You know, you talk about how good our team is. And, you know, I've been really, really trying to put my finger on it. You know, why are we as a fan base just so darn ambivalent about this team? And I'm including myself in that group. Why am I ambivalent about this team? And you know what? I think it might be this, Jim. I think it might be that when Chip Kelly came to town last year, we thought we were going to be looking at a couple of seasons of rebuilding. And that didn't happen. We thought
playoffs
coming off
the
of
first
that,
year. Yeah.
Exactly. We thought coming off of that 4-2 final season of Andy Reid, we thought, oh, my God, this team, you know, scrap it. We got to rebuild this thing. Get somebody in here. Let's tear this thing down. And you know something? That's not been the case. And I think that's why. I think that's one of the keys as to why Philadelphia fans are nervous. Because we're thinking there's got to be something more to this. It can't be this easy, in other words.
Well, you know what? Let's ask that very same question. Why are Philadelphia Eagles fans so ambivalent to a division-leading team and one of the better teams by record in the entire conference, to the curator, the head man, if you will, Mr. Machismo, Mr. Big Cheese, I'm not getting a raise, am I, of WarDesk.com. Justin Henry's on the line, I believe. Good evening, Justin.
Good evening, Jimmy. Good evening, Mike.
Justin,
how
are
things?
Good.
Things are more than satisfactory. But to Mike's point, let me ask you, good sir, why are the fans in this town, and I think Mike hit it on the head, we just don't know whether to embrace this team yet because we don't know what kind of a team we have right now, to be brutally honest.
Well, we always have that fear that, you know, we don't see the unknown, that we don't know what's going to come up and stab us when we're not looking. It's a matter of, we think there's always going to be that one thing that trips us up because we've had one championship in the last 30 years, 2008 Phillies. And even then we had to see it to believe it. My brother, who is probably the most pessimistic Philly sports fan there is, thought when the Phillies clinched the division in 2008, he says, we're probably going to lose to the Cubs and probably the NLCS or something. The Cubs!
Holy cow!
The Cubs can't beat anything. The Cubs are doomed. The Billy Goat's curse, Steve Bartman, they're not allowed to be winners. And he thought we were going to get downed by them. It's probably going to be the Cubs and the Red Sox in the World Series. Maybe it was supposed to be in 2003. Yeah, whatever.
I say this with no disrespect intended. Your brother is on something. I'm kidding.
I've felt the same way for a long time, believe me.
Now, although the Cubs may be good in another year or two under Joe Madden, but that's a different show I do on another network, CLW83.com. Cheap plug, thank you. But, I mean, this is a team that they don't win pretty. More often than not, they don't win pretty, but they win football games. Chip Kelly, I don't think anybody can truly figure out what he does. Yes, he plays a high-tempo offense. Yes, his defense, you know, they have interchanging parts that can make things work. I guess, to Mike's point, and I guess the question I'm going to ask is, are fans not joining on board in full force because of the why factor? We don't know why this team is successful?
I wouldn't say that. A lot of it, to me, seems very, you know, kind of elementary when you really look at how things are working. The defense makes sense because Fletcher Cox and Trent Cole are doing a great job of forcing the quarterback off point, so Connor Barwin, Brandon Graham, and Vinny Curry can clean up with sacks. That makes sense. Michael Kendricks is a great middle presence. Benny Logan and Seth Thornton are good against the run. You have a tremendous front seven here with interchangeable parts. The likes of Brandon Bear, Bo Allen, Casey Matthews, all of them can be worked in successfully. So it's a system that's come together. And it isn't, oh, we have to have four or five playmakers that are Pro Bowl caliber. And it's not that at all. We have, in my estimation, we have three defensive players who are going to the Pro Bowl this year. Malcolm Jenkins, Connor Barwin, and Fletcher Cox. Those three all deserve to make it for just how well they've played. But what
Connor
is,
Bar, yeah, go ahead.
Barwin, definitely.
Beast mode the other night.
Yeah, Connor Barwin telling the folks at NJ.com, Matt Lombardo, good friend of mine on Facebook, that they should have had more than nine sacks Monday night. And I believe the man. He had 3.5, and he's just shy of a career high in the sack department. He's having a career year. He definitely deserves Pro Bowl consideration at the very, very least. By the way, if you want to call in and talk with both Mike, me, and MrWarness.com, Justin Henry, maybe you can ask him the question everybody wants to know. Why the hell did he hire me? Call 347. I have no self-esteem. 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. Click the Skype button. Give us your prediction for the Eagles and Packers Sunday afternoon. We'll give you ours in just a few minutes. And let's get right into it. Let's talk a little bit about Green Bay and Philadelphia in what is going to be a marquee matchup. Do you see this matchup, as we talked with Bill Huber, Justin, being a matchup that could be a playoff preview of sorts?
Absolutely. Because Green Bay right now, I'm well aware Detroit's on top of the NFC North, but Green Bay, I think, is still the class of that division. And by the way, quick side note on Detroit, I saw the announcer pairings for this week. The Lions and Cardinals, who have the two best records in the NFC, and they're getting Chris Myers and Rondae Barber.
Bastards.
Exactly. Yeah. Meanwhile, we are getting Buck and Aikman, obviously.
I was hoping. I was so hoping for Burkhardt and Lynch. But anyway.
What? You don't like Joe Buck? The Joe Buck robot? Your hair looks nice, Troy.
That is a horrible display. It's a shame that happened on our airwaves. That is disgusting, Justin.
Called by David Tyree, and at the tone, the time will be 10:46 p.m.
To be fair, Joe has actually shown more enthusiasm the last couple of years since he got on the Twitter and everything. But
well,
whenever
everybody had to tell him he sucked, and then he finally realized, okay, I got to cut this out.
Got to cut this out,
Michaels.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of degenerate gambling, happy 70th birthday to Al Michaels. Today's his birthday, yeah.
Wow, is he really? Holy smokes.
He's 70 years old. His hair dye is about 2.
I'm going to set my personal over-under at 79.5.
I don't know about that there. Football night. First
oh, man, Al, let me tell you, when my playing days, you were much younger, had more natural hair.
Yeah, more hair. Michael, it was turning. It was curly, Michael. Oh, I'm sorry. That's JBL.
People are terrible.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
You can just cut us off. It's your network, bro. It's your network, bro.
I'm going to start muting microphones here in a moment.
It doesn't take much. Let's get back to the game at hand. I brought it up with Bill Huber. The lack of a running game for Green Bay, in my estimation, keeps them from being a Super Bowl caliber team. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, just look back at previous champions. I know the last two have had Marshawn Lynch and Ray Rice. But going back before that, they haven't been real dominant running teams. The Giants, who was the best running back? Bradshaw. Before that, Green Bay won, and they had James Starks as their primary back.
Thank you.
After Ryan Grant went down to start the year. So a running game is needed less and less. In fact, who was the Packers running back when they won the Super Bowl in 1996? Do you know who that was?
Oh. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. It's coming to me, but I can't.
Well, Dorsey Levin's in the backup, but the primary back was Edgar Bennett.
Oh, wow. I was going to say Levin, so yeah. Okay. Well, all I'm saying is, you know, you need some sort of balance, in my estimation. Not necessarily for the duration of a season, but in the playoffs, you need that unexpected jolt on offense. And the Packers, from my estimation, all they do is throw, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least he does get his carries. He's averaging about 4 yards a carry, which is actually more than Shady is right now.
Well,
first season, that is. But at least in the last couple of weeks, he's found his niche catching, you know, passes in the screen, passes in the flat. So that's just as good as a run if you think about it. And as long as you have that element with Nelson and Cobb deep, and that's still a very dangerous offense.
Mm-hmm.
He makes use of those three big opponents, plus Devontae Adams, a very good rookie receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about how everybody was, all the Eagles fans were kind of up in arms, and this is our, you know, our self-defeating, self-deflating viewpoint. After Green Bay was just shredding Chicago's secondary, Jordy Nelson ridiculously wide open. We all have our vision of Nate Allen playing even farther off of Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
But what were Packers fans thinking as Connor Barwin and Brandon Graham were just running all over Cam Newton? They don't have that great of an offensive line from a blocking standpoint. Rodgers has to make up for it himself. Their pass blocking, not that good. And here's Connor Barwin just gobbling up sacks like it's, you know, just like they're marbles in a Hungry, Hungry Hippos game.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was trying to get into a little bit of that with Bill Huber by mentioning the fact that when you take a look, one of the things that has actually impressed me in watching Green Bay games and in looking at the overall stats, particularly for Aaron Rodgers, is, well, aside from everything else, aside from the fact he's got more touchdowns than anybody else, aside from the fact he only has 3 interceptions in 10 games, is the low number of sacks that we have seen against this man. Because it seemed like to me, season after season after season, going back at least 3-4 years now, this guy was king of the guy being sacked. They have never really had a very good offensive line. And yet, when you take a look at it right now, he's only being sacked an average about two a game. His sack numbers are way down. So I was trying to get into that a little bit with Bill Huber, you know, when we just had him on, trying to determine, you know, is it the offensive line? Is it that they've made such improvements there? Huber seemed to think that it was more of Aaron Rodgers changing up his style of play.
I would say that's part of it. I would say it's more him anticipating how bad it could be and just preparing himself for it. A lot of that is line calls. A lot of that is preparation before the game, preparing. It is a rookie center out there, Cody Lindsley. I'm sorry, is it Corey Lindsley? It's Lindsley, something Lindsley. But I think it was a six-round draft pick, and he's the one that has to make the line calls. So a lot of the onus is on Rodgers to prepare himself for, you know, what might happen, and he knows how bad it could be. It happened on last year, happened on the year before. But what you're saying about him taking only 20 sacks this season, that's impressive. But look how good the Giants' offense was before that Sunday night game. You know, Eli Manning, 70% completion. He was hitting everything, everything underneath. What did the Eagles do? They put Boykin underneath. They threw him off. All of a sudden, he's not Mr. 70% anymore. It's a skill versus skill game. Just because we're doing good up until this point doesn't mean we don't have a defense that can't disrupt it.
Right.
So if we're getting 9 sacks on Cam Newton, and make no mistake, Cam Newton was very banged up. He was barely mobile out there, especially by Cam Newton standards. Maybe we can do something to Aaron Rodgers, especially as the snow falls down.
Well, we are seeing that the Eagles right now are 18th against the pass defensively. So we are seeing improvement from over a year ago for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't have the overall numbers in front of me. I'm just looking strictly at their defense against the pass. But I would suspect that we're not talking about a Philadelphia Eagles team here any longer that was, what, ranked 31st overall in the entire league last year? I don't think that's the case. So it would seem to me, without a run game, and we've seen that really, I mean, you know, we talk about the lack of run game that the Eagles showed the other day, which actually absolutely shocked me because we talked about it last week. I do not understand what the game plan was on the part of Chip Kelly against the Carolina Panthers, why you would only run the ball for 37 yards against a team that was ranked 31st. That makes no sense to me. You know, somebody's got to answer that question. But we know that the Packers don't have a run game. So while the Eagles are mid-pack against the pass, the way that the defense has been playing and the way that, as you point out, the front seven have been swarming, perhaps maybe we can put the kind of pressure on Rodgers to make a couple of mistakes. Maybe he gets himself a couple of interceptions.
That's why I'm not super concerned about this game. I'm not saying we're going to win. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's going to be a lot closer than people realize because we have the kind of defense that can get that out of a quality quarterback like Rodgers. Has he really played? I mean, Chicago, they're one of the worst defenses in football. I'm surprised Mel Tucker was even allowed on the bus after the game.
Yeah, boy.
it was that bad of a performance. And,
yeah.
I mean, you can't really judge that, and you can't say that, because we got 9 sacks on Newton, we're going to do that to Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Right now, the Bears and the Panthers are among the jobbers of the NFC. Eagles and Packers are the class. So now you see class versus class. You probably won't see anything that one-sided this week. Although, in the snow, we do know how good LeSean McCoy runs in it.
So he loves the snow, yeah.
Absolutely. This could be the week he gets back into that running game. Although Monday night, kind of a red herring. I think they may have overprepared for McCoy, and that's why they shut him down. Plus, Sanchez has found a groove eventually in the passing game, especially with Jordan Matthews, his favorite gizmo. So I'm not really worried about the run game going forward, especially against Green Bay, who overprepares for the pass and may not be expecting the run.
Yeah, but Justin, let me ask you a question. Was it really a situation where Carolina shut McCoy down, or did Chip Kelly shut McCoy down? He only carried the ball 12 times.
Yeah, but a lot of those runs were for either no yards or a loss of yards. He couldn't really get anything going. So, and Sanchez was finding a lot over the top, especially across the seam when Matthews was burning whoever was on him. Carolina's pass defense is actually worse than its run defense, in my estimation. And when Sanchez found that group, he wasn't making mistakes other than that one pick that he got away with when the center's foot went out of bounds.
And this game must have been an anomaly for that rush defense. I don't know. I mean, because I don't know how you get ranked 31st, and then all of a sudden they come out on a Monday night when they seem to be completely ineffectual in every aspect of the game. I mean, every aspect. This game, that Carolina Panthers team didn't even show up. Let's get it straight. Carolina Panthers fans ought to be embarrassed at what that team did because they didn't look like they were in it from the very beginning.
And
all
and
of
I know
sudden,
a few
yet, I guess,
who were.
You know, all of a sudden, their rush defense was the thing. I don't know. It seems odd to me. I don't get the game
plan. In all fairness, Luke Kuechly did show up. He always does show up. He's your best defender by far.
Right.
But I was going to say, last season when Eagles went 7-1 over the final eight games, who was their one loss to? Do you remember? It was to a Minnesota Vikings team that fired their coach 2 weeks later.
Right.
When Christian Ponder beat the Eagles up, how do you explain that one? Sometimes you just can't explain it.
Right. That's very true.
Games.
That's very true.
Oh, my point exactly for why I will not get on the Sanchez bus.
It's the hottest bus in town. It's touring all the major cheesesteak places.
Justin just made my point. There it is, right there in a nutshell. There it is.
Okay. I will say one thing, though. There was a great tweet from Fake WIP Caller, the best Twitter account there is. He basically said that the Sanchez Monday was a big victory for Philadelphia because he actually got Geno to serve a guy named Sanchez.
That is wrong yet so right.
Yeah,
I
heard it. There were a bunch of those floating around on Monday, actually.
By the way,
For
the record, by the way, for those keeping score, I go off the board and go with Tony Lukes. That's just me, though. That's just me when it comes to my cheesesteak.
Oh, damn. There goes that Geno sponsorship I was working on.
Yeah, but you were working on it. And we'll talk about that after the show. Quickly, Justin, I want to know, what's the game plan here for Philadelphia? What do they need to do to win on Sunday?
Establish the run early and commit to it. If it's going to be as snowy and as cold as they say it is, you're going to need McCoy. You better establish him and keep Chris Polk, keep him on standby because this is his kind of game, the power running game.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez, right now he's not perfect, but he's making good hard throws. I think he's got a better arm than Nick Foles, personally.
He doesn't need to be perfect. He doesn't need to be perfect. That's one thing that a lot of people are scrutinizing about Sanchez in this offense. He does not need to be perfect. He just needs to be efficient.
He's Latino Alex Smith. He's Alejandro Smith.
It's
all about establishing the run. Like I said, just set up your blocking schemes the way you did it. Just think back to that Lions game last year when they were able to separate Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. Find a way to do that to the likes of Mike Daniels, Clay Matthews, and Julius Peppers. And McCoy gets his big gashers, you're going to be fine. Kill time, get touchdowns.
Yep.
We talk about cheesesteaks, and now Brandon wakes up in the chat. Damn, I want a cheesesteak now. I want a Tony Lukes.
Uh-oh.
About cheesesteaks. So that's your problem, brother.
One guy mentions the cheesesteak, and then...
And here goes the cheesesteak, and then Brett Favre, boom. Yeah. There you go.
Wait. Brandon says he's running over to the King of Prussia Mall, so I don't know.
Well, isn't that a long jaunt from where you are? A little bit of a jaunt?
No, not at all. Right down 422. Right down 422.
Oh, there you go. Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice. Yep. Quickly, predictions on this one. Who do we like in this one, Justin?
I'm going to stick with the Eagles, but it's going to be a close game. I'm going to say 27-24.
Michael?
I like everything that Justin said. I couldn't agree with you more, Justin, on your concept for the game plan. That's what they got to do. They got to run the ball, I believe, particularly against a team. Unlike last week when they could have run the ball against a team that apparently didn't have a run defense. They can do it here against Green Bay. I would love to think that Green Bay or that the Eagles could beat Green Bay. If they do, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody can start booking their way to Arizona for this year's Super Bowl because they will be the cream of the NFC. I don't see it happening. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm picking Green Bay 36-28.
Brandon in the chat has Packers 47-41. Take the over.
Yeah.
Over.
I'm even going with you over this week.
Oh, then that says something. I have to be the tiebreaker, and I'm going to say it's a close one, but I think Green Bay wins by three, something along the lines of 30-27. And keep in mind, when the Eagles don't score 30 or more this season, they don't win. Just putting it out there.
Except when they beat the Giants.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well,
I put your spot up, didn't I? Oh.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Justin. Thanks.
No cheesesteak for him. No cheesesteak for him.
No cheesesteak. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get... I can't say that on the air. I'm not going to tell you what you're going to get. But I'll tell you off.
I already know what it is, believe me.
Yeah, flack. And not Flacco, just flack.
That's oh, please. That would, yeah, really. We don't want that.
No, nobody wants that. Nobody wants me to keep talking.
Baltimore,
so I'm done here.
Baltimore doesn't want that.
Well, they're committed to him for a lot of money, so they're tough nougats there.
Yeah, well, Chicago is for Cutler, too.
oh, by the way, we're running a little overtime here. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and search for Too Many Cooks Chicago Bears Edition. The Too Many Cooks meme, I put it on my Facebook page. They set the Too Many Cooks theme to every Jay Cutler interception thrown to a Green Bay Packer.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. Jay Cutler, the gift that keeps on giving to the comedy gods. Justin, thank you. Mike, thank you. Thanks as well to Bill Huber from PackerReport.com for his insight and analysis behind enemy lines. Speaking of behind enemy lines, Justin, I think, is going to have a behind enemy lines column up later in the week. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay.
I do believe so, yes.
Yes. And we'll have that up for you at warnest.com. That's the site you want to go to for all your Eagles news and views. And you're going to want to sign up for the premium membership. First of all, 7-day free trial so you can see what it's all about. Great stat-centric articles and commentary pieces you can't find anywhere else. But even bigger than that, the perk of perks, if you sign up and become a premium member at warnest.com, you will have access to save 10% on all remaining Eagles game ticket purchases, home or away. That's vital. That's vital stuff. You take that 10%, and you might be able to pay for parking. Because we're trying to say. Look at it this way. Think of it as a holiday incentive to sign up, ladies and gentlemen. The holidays are here, okay? It's Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadanica, damn it. Sign up. That's right. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadanica. That's right.
That's Festivus, my friend.
That's impressive.
Oh, well, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadana, Festivicus.
That is impressive.
Thank you very much. And Festivus,
I will air that grievance.
I don't want to know what you're going to do on the Festivus poll. That's none of our business, Justin. But, is that code? But seriously, Warnest.com, sign up for the premium membership. You won't regret it. In fact, it's less than $7 a month if you purchase the annual membership. $7 a month, that's 7 cups of coffee. 7 cups of Wawa coffee, and Wawa coffee, it's overrated. You know it, I know it. Come on now. So purchase the membership, and you'll save 10% on your purchase of Eagles tickets the rest of the season, home or away. That's the show for this week. We hope you join us next week. For Justin Henry, Mike McShane, Bill Huber joining us from PackerReport.com, and the rest of the not-yet-ready-for-primetime players. I'm Jim Williams. Go Eagles! Prove me and Mike wrong this Sunday and win at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. By the way, John Facenda never said frozen tundra. Just a fun fact. Just thought I might mention that as we get out of here. So long, everybody. We'll see you next week.